Our scripture lesson today comes from the book of Judges, and to honor the reading of God's word, I'd ask that you would stand at this time. I'll begin reading with Judges chapter 4. I'll be reading four verses, and there'll be other passages we'll refer to during the message. Judges chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. After Ehud died, the Israelites once again did evil in the eyes of the Lord. So the Lord sold them into the hands of Jabin, a king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor. The commander of his army was Sisera, who lived in Harosheth Hagoyim. Because he had 900 iron chariots and had cruelly oppressed the Israelites for 20 years, they cried to the Lord for help. Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lappethoth, was leading Israel at that time. God's word for us this Mother's Day. Please be seated. We read in Judges chapter 5, verse 7. Village life in Israel ceased until I, Deborah, arose, a mother in Israel. I wonder, what is a woman to do if she is to find herself called and equipped to serve God by leading others? A mother named Deborah in the Old Testament found herself in that situation. The Bible tells us that Deborah was a prophetess. A prophet is a person who spoke the words of God. Prophets not only spoke to the people, but prophets also spoke for God. The prophets usually spoke two different types of words. Some of the words were foretelling. In other words, they were predicting things that would happen in the future. And other words were forthtelling, preaching about sin, righteousness, and judgment, so that people could choose to be on the Lord's side. Paul defined the task of a prophet in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 3. But everyone who prophesies speaks to men for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. Deborah was such a communicator. We also notice in Judges chapter 4, verse 4, that Deborah had a husband. She was married to Lappethoth. The Bible doesn't give us any additional information about her husband, but we know, of course, that Deborah was not a single woman. She was a wife. She had responsibilities at home. She had a husband and children to care for. She was not in a position to ignore the tasks and energy that homemaking requires. As far as we know from the scripture, she didn't have a maid to do all that extra work. Did you notice there's a divine order in Deborah's life? First, she was a prophetess. Then, she was a wife and a mother. Deborah had a balancing act to practice day after day, just like many mothers do today. She must have struggled with many schedule conflicts, but she was God's spokesperson first. She never used her home responsibilities as an excuse to avoid God's calling for her life. A third fact that we can learn from our text is that Deborah was a leader of the nation of Israel at this time. Some Bible translations don't just refer to as a leader, but as the judge of Israel. Now, what did that mean at this time? As the tribes of Israel settled and established themselves in Canaan, most judges were primarily military leaders who came to power in times of intense national crisis. In one sense, some of the judges of ancient Israel were more generals than judges, in the way we might understand that word today. But judges were also leaders who had risen to power because they had wisdom and were able to administer justice, not just within their family or tribe, but justice for the entire nation. They ruled and they protected the people. And during the three centuries after the Israelites occupied the promised land, there was a pattern that repeated itself time after time. Without a stable central government, according to Judges chapter 21, verse 25, everyone did as he saw fit. It was a time of anarchy in ancient Israel, as well as a time of apostasy. Many of the Israelites had begun to adopt pagan worship practices such as human sacrifice and ritual prostitution. Many Israelite tribes were conquered by foreign powers. They were enslaved, or if they weren't enslaved, they were forced to pay exorbitant taxes. And after years of servitude, the people would cry out to God, institute reforms, beg God for deliverance. Then God would pick a judge to organize a campaign who would throw off the oppressor. Then the independent tribes would live in peace until the people again would do what? Wander away from God's ways. It's likely that some judges in ancient Israel were better than others. But according to this book of Judges, chapters 4 and 5, we find that Deborah, that woman, and that mother combined the best qualities of an Old Testament judge. Deborah was a splendid strategist, and she was a superb judge as she adjudicated all the different kinds of problems that people brought to her. We know that she did well because from all over Israel, individuals would come to Deborah to have their disputes settled. And had they not had great confidence in her wisdom, certainly they would have gone to someone else to settle their problems. Deborah was leading Israel at a new time of technology. It was the beginning of the Iron Age. The neighboring Canaanites had begun smelting iron before the Israelites even learned that skill. Hence, the Israelites were facing an enemy with 900 iron chariots. That would be just like infantry facing armored forces today. According to Judges chapter 5, verses 6 to 8, the situation was so bad in northern Israel that the Israelites couldn't even use the roads. People had to sneak around using hidden paths and clandestine trails. The Bible tells us that village life ceased. Farmers probably had to thresh their grain in secret caves at night. The Israelites knew what it was like to be hunted down like a rabbit. Doesn't this sound a little bit like what has been happening to our brothers and sisters in Nigeria with the Muslim group Boko Haram over the last several years as their attacks intensified, particularly last year? The church, the brothers and sisters in Nigeria are suffering much like the ancient Israelites. It's a time of cruel and brutal oppression. But you know how long it went on for the Israelites? It went on for 20 years. Meanwhile, Deborah is sitting under a palm tree in the hill country of Mount Ephraim between Ramah and Bethel. She's dispensing justice to all the people who are coming to her. And without a doubt, she had to have a lot of patience as she sat and listened day after day. And she heard the stories about the cruel oppression of the Israelites in the northern part of their country. She would not and could not ignore the plight of her fellow citizens. And one day she decided, enough is enough, it's time for action. And so she sent for a general by the name of Barak and gave him marching orders. I think this gives us some idea of the power and influence that Deborah had in Israel. Barak accepted her instructions as God's word to him. Barak, according to the scriptures, never disputed the divine instructions he received from Deborah. But he wanted Deborah to go with him. Now, how many men do you know who would have listened to a woman like Deborah give military advice? But Barak's confidence in Deborah tells us a lot about Deborah. Barak was not a man ashamed to follow female leadership because he knew that God was directing Deborah. But what did Barak and Deborah decide to do? They pulled together an army of 10,000 Israelites on the sides of Mount Tabor. And the Israelites knew as long as they stayed up on those mountain slopes, they were relatively safe from those 900 chariots, those 900 Aryan iron chariots that Sisera had. Militarily speaking, it was clear that the Israelites were no match for the military machine of 900 iron chariots that had assembled on the plain. Any unbiased observer probably would have felt sorry in advance for the Israelites and would have been ready to turn away to avoid watching the impending carnage. However, they would have been forgetting that the Lord God Almighty was going to be a crucial player on this battlefield drama. I think many times in our lives we're tempted to look at events from these eyes, right? From only a human perspective instead of from God's eyes and a divine perspective. I'm sure General Barak may have had some qualms as he faced a seemingly invincible enemy. However, it's very intriguing that if you go to the book of Hebrews in the New Testament and look at chapter 11, the heroes of the faith, in other words, the faith hall of fame, who do we find there? We find the name of General Barak. In Judges 4:14, Deborah commanded Barak to attack the enemy because the Lord would deliver the enemy and their commander, Sisera, into his hands. You know what the scriptures tell us? Deborah yelled, "Go!" And by faith, what did Barak do? He went. But how did God give Deborah and Barak the victory over their oppressors? Judges 5:4 informs us there was an earthquake. And then the heavens and the clouds just poured down a terrific storm of water. And as those plains where those iron chariots were sitting turned into a muddy swamp, the iron chariot wheel sank into that mud, thick and fast. Sisera and his army had to abandon those mighty chariots, machines of war, and they had to flee on foot. And at the same time, because of the intense rain, the river Kishon, which is normally not much more than a trickling stream during the dry season, swelled into a mighty torrent that swept so many of the Canaanite soldiers away. You know, in Judges chapter 5, we find a whole song written. It's a victory song. We find Barak and Deborah's reaction with their victory song in Judges chapter 5, verse 21, where they said, "March on, my soul, be strong." What a victory chant. I think we too, when we're feeling discouraged, when we're feeling oppressed, we can take courage because we can march on in the strength of the Lord our God. And when God is on the march, everything on earth and in heaven does his bidding because all of the forces of nature are ultimately subject to the Lord's control. I'm convinced that God gave divine motivation through Deborah. God gave supernatural help through the forces of nature. But General Barak still had the task of carrying through, of finishing this job. I think we need to remember in Judges chapter 4, verse 9, that Deborah also told Barak an additional piece of very interesting information. Barak would not be allowed to bring justice to the cruel Sisera, but instead, Deborah said, a woman would bring about justice. The Canaanite commander, Sisera, he's dog tired. He's fled from the battleground. And he comes to the tent of a nomadic family. And there he meets a woman, Jael. She's the wife of Heber. And she invites Sisera inside their tent to rest. You know what she offers him to eat? Yogurt. And after he eats this yogurt, she says, "Hey, can I cover you up, make you comfortable?" He says, "Oh yeah, I'm tired of running from these Israelites." And after he fell asleep, Jael, the wife, returned, and she took a hammer, and she took a tent peg, and she drilled Sisera from temple to temple, fastening his head to the ground. Now, in case you think that's graphic, the New English translation of Judges chapter 4, verse 21 is even more graphic. It details how as she drove that tent peg right through his skull from one side to the other, how Sisera's brains oozed out on the ground, his limbs twitching as he died. Wow. You didn't know that was in the Bible, did you? We learn that after this battle, the land had peace for 40 years. And God's gift to Israel in an hour of terrible discouragement and oppression was all wrapped up in the body, the mind, and the heart of Deborah, who the Bible says was a mother in Israel. Perhaps Deborah shatters some of our stereotypes about what a woman's or a mother's leadership can accomplish. Deborah was a strong leader whose word commanded the strongest in the land of Israel. Deborah was God's spokesperson to whom generals and commoners alike listened. And Deborah's power and influence were such that had they not been tempered by her religious faith, she could have declared herself to be the king or the dictator of the entire land. But Deborah didn't do that. Deborah had a gracious humility that enveloped her use of her gifts, her power, and her influence. She made sure that Barak knew that it was God that would give the Israelites the victory. Deborah took no credit for this winning strategy. In Judges chapter 5, verse 2, we find her praising the Lord for the people willing to take the lead and offer themselves to do the Lord's work. Clearly, Deborah didn't care who got the credit. She was never out to make herself look good. Instead, read sometime later today, Deborah's song recorded in Judges chapter 5. It just bubbles over with her confidence and her faith in God. You know, every woman and mother today has a sphere of influence. And whatever God puts into your minds and hearts to do, God's guidelines are the same. Like Deborah, may you fulfill your divine calling without seeking the spotlight, without insisting on getting credit for what you're doing for the Lord. And may you demonstrate your unshakable confidence in the Lord, not only through your beliefs, but through your behaviors. And may you always desire to praise God and give Him the glory. Will you stand with me as we remember our mothers singing number 424, Faith of Our Mothers, number 424.